Hello and welcome to the Early Crow episode 30. We're back with a very special guest, probably our favourite man inside the Early Crow family. He's dominant inside each and every WhatsApp that he's in. Justin McNerney, welcome back, man. How you going?
Boys, it's been too long, I think. It's been way too long. Last time I was in here, I was cleaning up, but we're back.
You got the alarm set today. You were able to rock up. You missed one of your starts because you
I got a little bit confused. I thought I'd just delay the fan base, let them make them wait.
Just a little bit.
How come you were 15 minutes late today?
I just had a bit of stuff on, mate.
Buying candles or?
Nah, I haven't used my candle that often. I can't get the hang of the lighter. Burns me all the time.
You gotta keep the flame above the thumb, mate.
You gotta tip the candle upside down.
The candle's gotta go up, not the lighter.
Yeah, well, I tilt the candle that way, and like, I don't know, Mickey. So you reckon that way?
Lighter in your right hand, it stays still. Move the candle to the flame.
Oh, sounds good.
Welcome back to Life Advice with Justin McInerney. You want a pleasure.
What's the go with this bike you've been rolling with? Is that a specialised little fat boy or what?
Fat boys. Elite. Took paps on the back, gave him a little, what's it called? A little dink. A little dink on the back today. Yeah, it was nice.
Is it electric?
Yeah, electric for sure.
What's one of them set you back?
About three and a half with a nice little 1,000 off, I think.
Mate, they go about, we're going about, what, 50Ks today?
Yeah, they're an investment.
Yeah, it's elite.
They're quality stuff. All legal.
Especially eastern suburbs, like solid hills and a lot of traffic. And yeah, you can cut the hills and get around the traffic.
No, the hills is tough stuff.
How are you seeing your footy this year? I think you've had a pretty noticeable, gradual improvement in your output as a footballer. You must be pretty happy with yourself.
Yeah, it's been good. It obviously helps when the team's playing better footy, so that's been a positive. But it's been good. Get some consistency in my game, and then just play a few different roles wherever the team needs me. So, been good fun.
Is that been a bit tricky with the boys coming in and out? Like you were like lighter on in the midfield. Like Tom was going through there more than he is now. Your role's probably changed a bit too.
Yeah, it has. But I don't mind it. A bit of a mix-up sometimes, get to change down, roll around with the boys in the forward lineup, Paps and Brucey and that, and then you get to, I found myself down back with Lizard and Ollie, which is always fun, so just roam around a bit.
Have you heard the new nickname is getting called Dicko from Horse?
No.
The broom. Just sweeps up all the shit. Just like, wherever you need him, he just sweeps it up.
Well, I wouldn't disagree. Like you've done about a 10 to 15% increase in your supercoach output year on year.
Have I?
Yeah, which clarifies that you're going better. But to the eye, I love the little stuff. Like you're strong over the ball, particularly for your shape. You like are a contested little beast, and you're angry.
4.5 kilos.
You're not girthy.
No, I'm not girthy. To the eye.
To the eye, you're an outside runner, but enough footy, you don't want to go toe to toe with it. Like you snap that bloke early. The big fella that took out our man Harry, like you were the first bloke to go down there and just get in a whim. I love that stuff, and that doesn't get super coach points.
Nah, it doesn't. Unfortunately, it should, but you don't get much points for camaraderie. I would be off the charts.
You actually got punished for doing that, Juz.
Yeah, I got done three times in four games, so that wasn't ideal. But
fines.
Yeah, got done three times in four games. So I reckon close to a record. I reckon.
First, you have to do a bit of social media walking. Someone's looking after an old lady or whatever it is to give yourself a bit of juice at the tribunal should you need it.
I might just do a little Uber Eats job with my bike. Just rock up with a couple of boys at a couple of doors. Drop off a couple of Macca's orders or something.
Speaking of little things off the ball, I wasn't going to talk about this, but I want to see. Did you notice what our man did? Was it middle second quarter, Tommy? Or was it middle third, maybe?
I don't know what you're on about.
There was a play on the far side, MA Noble side, or O'Reilly side of the ground away from the race. The ball was probably dead. I think most people thought it was dead, but there was a Gold Coast bloke thinking about kicking it. And Tommy run him down and nailed him. And then a little bit of backhander to the, just a, like a little slide up the face, that little stuff, which I love and I noticed. Did you see any of that?
Mate, there's no way. Mate, it was a fair tackle. He was going to play on.
It was a great tackle.
Was that Tom's only tackle for the day?
No, it didn't get awarded because the game was actually dead at that point. He actually went tackleless without one on Sunday.
He played his role.
Pick three.
Exactly. He's got the crowd going.
And took one of the greatest outfield catches of all time as well. It was Glenn McGrath-esque on the boundary line.
You held that a little bit too, Tommy, didn't you? Sort of took the hanger, one of the great marks all time in that pocket, and just sort of sat there for a little bit and just said, yep, let's soak this in.
Yeah, of course. You got to get the crowd going, man. You can't just let it... You can't let the moment get past, you know?
My mail is that no one's heard that sort of noise at their CG for a very, very long time.
No, I haven't. Oh, the name was going around the crowd.
Couldn't believe it.
It was bizarre stuff. and it rattled him. It rattled him. It rattled him. He then proceeded to miss.
Oh, mate, it was putting me off. Like, what the hell is going on?
What was that like, though, looking back now? That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I didn't really think about it, but would have been nice if I kicked it. I reckon they would have went off more, but... Yeah, I don't know. It's a bit funny. I actually thought it was a bit random they were going off that much. But yeah, it was all right.
You kicked the goal off to the hanger. That was pretty good.
Yeah, it was all right.
Matt Roberts, Praddy, he's pretty stiff to run into Harley Reid in his rising star year. He's had a really good start for the Swans, but Harley Reid seems like a generational freak.
100%. He would be absolutely spewing, and I'm sure the boys... We'll sing his high praises in a moment, but fuck, what a year that he's having. I think he's a 19-year-old or a 20-year-old, perhaps. We were chatting on the phone yesterday, just asking about him. He looks like he's played 100 games.
Yeah, he's good. He's pretty smart, skillful player. He's sort of... He's done well down back. He's sort of got thrown there at the start of pre-season. He's, taken it like duck to a water. So, good on him. He's going well.
What's he like as a bloke? Juzzy?
He is quite quiet. Well, he was. He's handy with his golf. He had a bit of a how you going a bit last year in his golf. But when you play good footy, you're always forgotten about. So no, good on him. He's a great kid.
Be the best golfer.
My mail is the crust might have made his way down to Caringbah.
I don't even know what Caringbah is.
It's a suburb in the Shire.
Where'd
the birthplace
of
modern Australia. God's country.
Oh, Ping. Cross waltzed down a ping the other day. Gary sorted me out. Jeez, I was sitting in the mud with the irons, but as soon as the Big Bertha got a hold of that, gee whiz. It was watch out for the side walls. but a bit of practice will go a long way.
What are you going to do with the clubs? Like, are you going to stick them at... Where are you going to join up? Are you thinking the Dune or the coast?
I'll waltz in the coast with the boys.
Are you going to leave the sticks there and just ride the fat boy to and from? Or what are we doing?
That's probably the only issue. The fat boy can't handle the sticks. Might need to message and get one of those backpacks.
Yeah, maybe.
A good golf club will have, like, you just leave your sticks there.
Yeah, I might do that.
You can't do that at Coast.
That's a setback. Did you boys watch the Crows v. the Bombers, whenever it was, and the controversial free kick at the end of the game?
It was interesting. I thought they would have paid it, but I don't know. It was sort of a hard one. They obviously come out and said they should have paid it, but it sort of like went under him when he sort of fell down. I didn't think he really dragged it in that much. But then he like sort of just like suplexed it and like got like that. So like that was kind of random. But yeah, they've been stiff. The Crows the last is it been done? They got done by us by the point, and they got done by the holding ball. But I don't know. It doesn't come down to one decision in my opinion. But yeah,
sort of all started when that bloke went early Crow last year when he thought he kicked that goal to knock you guys out of the finals.
Yeah,
Keezy. Ever since then, the wheels have come right off.
He's a must-watch man draper for somebody so big. He can, that goal of the year that he kicked last year was pretty ridiculous for a big man.
Are they a bit sneaky or fraudulent? Which one? The Bombers. They're 4-2.
Yeah, they go all right. They've got a good coach, I reckon. He's a good coach. He's got some good new players in. Like Stringer's going really well, I reckon. He helps them a lot.
Mm.
But yeah, they go all right.
Last thing on footy about another team. How good do we think Carlton are? I haven't watched much of them, to be honest, because they're not on at times that I watch footy, but they're 5-1. They seem to be flying.
Just? Yeah, they've got some star power, that's for sure. All ends of the ground. Big Charlie and Mackay. Geez, they're big presence, aren't they? And then Walshy's obviously a freak. Comes back in as about 35, and I don't know whatever else he had. I don't know how many times. I don't know how he does it, to be honest. And then
17 score involvement.
He's just a magnet. So, I don't know. So, yeah, if you can limit a couple, they've just got stars everywhere.
Obviously, we're in the window, right? I'm happy to say it. I know you two don't like saying it, but I feel like we're right in the window. I feel the breeze upon my cheeks. Who are the other sort of teams that you guys think are right in the window this season as it stands?
Geelong. Me and Custer today, Geelong's just like, they just continue to just show up. They're credit to them. The coach is a gun, obviously. They've got some good players as well. Jeremy Cameron's a superstar. Who else we got? Port's a funny one. Like, they lost on the weekend, but I think Collingwood, they sort of had a bit of a slow start, but they're going all right again. Brisbane, although they lost to Geelong. So, who else is there?
I think Melbourne are sneaking.
Melbourne are too bad. GWS is quite nice.
GWS and Melbourne are the two teams that are like just getting through their work, doing their job they need to do at this part of a season to be really competitive if they get hot late.
I think GWS will be a lot stronger when they get Sam Taylor back as well. He's a massive key pillar for them down back. He definitely straightens it up.
Yeah, definitely.
Righto, let's talk rugby league. The Storm did a job on the Roosters again. I reckon is it 6 years or 5 years, perhaps? They own them in Sydney.
Yeah, I heard a stat on the radio when I was going to training, actually. It's some ridiculous record in Sydney. But I actually went against them. I was with the Roosters, so and I got shit in the face. So it was a good game. It was a really good game. Coming down the wire again, and Storm just too good to die in the dying minutes, two weekends in a row.
Yeah, Munster got sent. They couldn't score when he was off.
Yeah, true. That's true. They were one down and they still couldn't beat him.
Mm.
They're just nice, aren't they? The Storm.
Good. They're bread and butter. You know what they're like? They're like the Swans in 2005. They're not pretty. They're not like a highlight sort of operation, but they're very hard to beat. They're very consistent. And, you know, every club that goes, like, who we got this weekend? Oh, fucking hell. It's the Storm. Because it's just going to be a grind and they're going to get bashed. I reckon they're tracking beautifully to be very, very competitive at the end. Are they near the top of the premiership market? Would they be?
Yeah, they'd have to be close.
Top four.
When's Cleary back?
This week, I think.
This week, they'll just go to another level, won't they? They're going to. Well, they'll probably just win it again, will they? Or
I reckon, Giles, at the moment, it's Panthers, but the Panthers list seems to be fragile, like. People get injured a little bit at the moment.
Yeah, but like,
maybe because they played so much footy, like they've gone to England to play. I love the Broncos. I love them.
Tony Staggs.
Look at the grand final market, the premiership market. Panthers 325, Broncos 450, Storm 650, Roosters $10, Sharks are on top of the ladder $13.
Sharks might not even make the eight.
They're undefeated. Sharks,
really. Sharks roll around with Nicho Hynes, eh?
Yeah.
The halfback or 5'8", so he's a halfback who's been playing 5'8", just got done on a roadside. Dale Finucane, who's an outstanding guitarist and vocalist, he's retired because of concussion. I think the Sharks are a good footy team, but they're just not at that level. I love the Broncos. They've got big, thick boys, like two of the best big thickies
when's
big Carrigan and Haas.
Haas back.
Yeah, I think he's not. I think he's pretty close.
He's a big Haas in me.
Oh.
And he's been
imagine, like,
he's been that size for ages.
Yeah, he's so big and he's so thick. Yeah, I'm watching Fox Sports News right now and he's training full kit. So he's close. Reece Walsh is the most exciting rugby league player I've seen in the last like 6 years.
And
he's a freak.
And
he's
a rooster.
Mm. How's he wearing that hat, Jazz?
He's not bad.
Whenever we get to have a proper beer together and a bit of a session, let's buy those hats.
The big one, like,
the big cowboy hat.
Yeah.
How old is he? Like, he's 20, isn't he? 21?
He'll be 22 now, 23, I reckon.
He's got a young fella, doesn't he?
Young girl, I think.
What about the... So you don't rate the Sharks?
I grew up in the Shire. They're just always... They always tease you and let you down if you fall into them. I just don't think they ever have the style of football that'll stand up in the big games. Oh, was it 2 years ago that they were very, very good and like competitive and they got beaten by the Cowboys at Shark Park in a final?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. I just think they're sus. I think the Broncos are really good. The Panthers are just a machine and the Storm are really good. And, you know, those three teams will be like top four and you'll be playing a prelim and a semi or whatever in Brisbane or out at Penrith or in Melbourne. And good luck to you.
About Dale Finucane as well, I saw that he only scored 15 tries in his career and one of them was the 2017 Grand Final win with the Storm.
Like, he's got one of the thickest necks you've ever seen in rugby league. He was a weapon when he played for the Storm.
Jeez, they're hard bastards. Like
100%.
The way they take off the kickoff and just run straight down the guts is nuts.
Yeah.
It's not even what it used to be, though, Cross. You should, like, when you're bored, put in a YouTube, just type in Martin Lang. Play for the Panthers, the Sharks, a couple others. It was just it wasn't even a big thicky, and he used to just charge and get, like, creamed and just go again. He had long hair. He'd get hit real hard, and he's, like, all the water would go forward, and his body would go backwards. Martin Lang.
What about the... What's the big fella that broke his cheekbone that day?
Burgess.
Semi-Burgess.
Yeah, he broke his cheekbone and kept playing.
Haven't you seen that? Oh, you've got
first
him.
Hit
oh,
up.
Nah.
Jeez, it's ridiculous.
How about Big Nelson? Jeez, when we fight him.
He's the big horse.
Oh, remember when the Big Nelson just unleashed at Bali? Yeah, Big Nelson's back. He was back.
Last week.
He's a big thicky, and he's like... experiences all hell, and Craig sent him to play for North Sydney Bears just to tick him over before he let him back in the first grade.
Oh my gosh.
Bellyache would be a real hard ass.
Cup game and then cop that.
Yeah. Oh.
Just trying to make your way in the game and then you run into somebody like that.
Speaking of like broken cheekbones, no, I don't think any bones got broken, but did anyone watch Garcia and
Haney?
Hanley's fight on Sunday?
Still highlights.
It was just a phenomenal event on Twitter, if you watched it on Twitter. His pre-game, he sculled a beer at the weigh-in.
He came out and said it was...
He weighed in over, and he just paid the bloke money, and it was not a title fight because he weighed in over.
$500,000
per pound
that he was over, and he was 3 pounds over. He paid... So Henley lost, but he paid him $1.5 million for being... which is like 1.3 kilos over.
Yeah, but he's had $2 million on himself to win 112.
Yeah.
He reckons he pocketed over 50.
And he's got a little bit of a crust about him too, perhaps. You know why?
What?
He took unders. Which is, when you're having $2 million on yourself, you want to get the best price. What
was he?
Well, he's like 9-1, so he should have won 18.
Oh, Jesus.
He came out on a FaceTime with Jake Paul and said the beer was fake. He said it was apple juice and sparkling water.
Really?
But who knows? You don't know without
that. Hollywood.
He's nuts.
He's
genuine skids.
He's
genuinely set himself up to be the most watched. Like when he fights next time, we're going to be talking about it before the fight. We're going to be watching it, like because of his because he's crazy. See when Mike Tyson came into the room and before his fight, and they're all like, all the other boys have got heavy rap and normal, like, unce going. He had like classical music going.
He had people playing cello and fucking violin and shit. It was like a fucking orchestra in there.
Mate.
Unreal. It's pay per view, right? Like, you've got to bring him. You've got to get those eyeballs on screens, and he's doing it.
Yeah.
Cricket. You boys want to talk cricket or what?
Yeah, Praddy, you've been watching the IPL much?
Yeah, a little bit. I just catch up on the KO minis most afternoons after work's done, sit down and watch them. Did you see the game the other week? I think it was the Sunrisers Hyderabad made like, it was like 5 for 280 and Delhi got to 8 for 250 odd. It's been something like four of the five highest innings totals have been this year. They've just been smacking the ball all out of the park in Hyderabad. But McGurk made the second fastest 50 ever by an Aussie. He made it off 15 balls. Any idea who has made the fastest T20 by an Australian, either in IPL or international?
Maxwell.
Anyone got an idea? Not Maxwell.
Head.
No.
Not Head. Head made a 16-ball 100 in the innings. Gilchrist. 16-ball 50. No, not Gilchrist either. Solar panel Pat. Pat Cummins made a 14-ball 50 in the IPL last year.
That's ridiculous. What?
Unbelievable.
He's like the king, eh?
He is the king. Captain of the team. What? And Head came out, he made 102 off 39 a couple of nights before and then came out, made a 16-ball 50 and it was 84 off 26. And then Jake Fraser-McGurk, the young bull, just one-upped him in the innings afterwards and made one off 15 rocks. So.
Do you reckon Big Cummo just rules a roost on the piss too? Or is he like straight batting to dominate on every other like aspect of his life?
He's more of a serious sort of straight batter. Had a few beers, nothing too... Not like Heady.
He just goes, hey, Mitch, Travis, get him home by two, would you?
The Bison would be running the show, I think.
The Bison and Heady.
Big Bison.
All right, Stark bowled the last over of it, needed 23, and then the bike hit three sixes, and then he... they needed three off two, and he caught him bowled or something.
Needed one off the last ball, didn't they?
Yeah, two off the last ball, I think it was, and when they came back for the second, it was the worst throw from the boundary that I've ever seen. But Phil Salt took it and took the stumps off. But yeah, he bowled very well the other night for Kolkata. The Aussies are doing all right over there. I think Head's averaging like 54. Warner and McGurk are averaging about 30-odd, and then Pat's taken 9. I think Stark's taken 7 wickets. So the Aussies are doing well. They're going into a T20 campaign too, which is always good.
How long has it got left?
I don't know, actually. There'd be a few games left.
Just for what, don't it?
Yeah.
Mate, imagine...
Yeah, it does.
Our man Robbie would be killing it. He'd be staying up all night, betting on it live, trading, just like flat out.
There'd be so much liquidity.
Oh.
I love it over there.
Love it.
Okay. If you went out for a big night, like on a Saturday night, with the Bison or whoever, and you get home hungover, you wake up, you go to Macca's, what are you getting?
24 nuggets, large chips, and a McFlurry.
Oh, I love you. Paff, what are you getting?
He can't have the burger because he's gluten-free.
Still, take the nugs. And a large solo. Have to.
Solo. Are you having those nuggets without any sauces at all?
No sauce.
Just like nuggets in the bag with the chips and have like the chips, and a couple of chips in the nugget.
Do you dip the chips in the McFlurry a bit?
That's a disgrace.
Okay. Yeah, just testing, checking. Chips in McFlurry. What are you doing?
I'm a large Big Mac man. Large Big Mac. Or a double cheeseburger, large double cheeseburger with chips, and then six nuggets on the side with sweet and sour sauce and a Coke.
Praddy?
Okay. All right. Back in the day, it used to be triple cheeseburgers. I used to be able to eat them like they were going out of fucking fashion.
Now I'm getting 2 quarter pounders, large chips, large Coke, and a McFlurry with M&Ms and Oreos, and I put chips on the burgers. Like,
yeah,
that's why I need large.
Chips on the burgers.
Yeah that's what Clarky used to do,
it's good. It's good stuff.
I mean, I can't move for like 4 or 5 hours.
That's a lot of food.
That's a lot of food.
Oh.
Yeah, well, as I got older, Juz, sometimes on a Saturday, like, I'll be in here bent for my life, and the kids will come in, and then I got to realise I've got to do dinner. Then I just do a bit of DoorDash.
Yeah, it's good stuff. I'll do that.
You know, you get them to bed. By the time you feel like crap, it's almost time to go to bed, so who cares when you're old? You couldn't have it in the middle of the day. You're almost conceding the rest of your day if you indulged. Like, especially you. Like, you're just knocking down, like, 24 nuggets with chips, sauceless.
Yeah,
and a McFlurry.
I could do that today. Easy. It's just the guilt factor that's just like, I'd never do it.
Are you two like the dietitian's worst nightmare at the Swans?
Well, perhaps it's a funny one because like his skin folds are just like he hacks it. Like his skin folds are fine. So like it's just like
my skin folds.
What?
Hang on. Skin folds. Did you hear what happened last night or the night before?
Yeah.
They're stopping skin folds because they don't want to put too much pressure on
young athletes. Yeah, but not in
the... athletes.
Not in the league. Just beforehand, is that right?
Yeah, I think so. Thoughts?
Yeah, it's a good thing.
Yeah, it
shouldn't matter.
It shouldn't matter. Mate, like, Juzzy's skinnies are like... I don't even know. Like, usually shit. And he nearly wins a 2K. It's like, who cares? Like, I eat, like, not that well for an athlete. And my skinnies are under 40. It's just your genetics.
And I kick through on the weekend. What do you want to do about it?
And I skip it. Two wins in a row. What more do you want?
Yeah. I'm 2 from 2. I mean, leave
two
me
from
alone.
2 by.
2 from 2 as captain.
Oh, skipper, yeah.
100% strike rate.
Yeah.
Undefeated.
Yeah. My own.
It might have been West Coast and the Suns, but it's still 2 from 2. Mate,
you can only play the cards you've been dealt.
What did you think? Because I didn't have you on last week as his mate. Like, how good was it last quarter against West Coast when it was trending like a typical Swans, like, we're going to go at 75% because that's just enough and we're going to make all our fans just suffer from anxiety all day, but we'll probably get the job done. Last quarter, when he smothered and then tackled that bloke to keep it inside 50, goal came
that
from
was good.
It.
Yeah, it was good.
How
stuff.
Good was that?
It's things we love.
The
things
boys,
we love,
does that,
yeah.
Does that really rev the
yeah,
boys
it
at
actually,
that level?
Yeah, it really gets the boys going. He's the barometer of the forward pressure, even though he doesn't do it often.
Yeah, I love it. I love to hear that. Quick, cut that up. The barometer of forward pressure at
just
the Sydney Swans.
These days.
Yeah, all right.
Oh, he's a great man to watch play football.
The broom.
What happened inside the Juzzers, the Crusses, little melon when you were floating from like sort of center wing, top of 50. Do I try and find someone or have a little pingy? Did you have little T Papley saying tin can gear in your head, or did you go fuck this?
When you had a shot in the weekend.
Nah, it got called not 15, so I thought, oh, well, if I mick it, like, it's just, oh, well, I just say I got called play on. So I just turned and burned. I haven't kicked a goal for weeks, though. I was 3 from 3, and now I haven't kicked one since. It's devastating stuff.
Mate, you're going good. As I said, improving each and every year, super coach, off
yeah,
to
that's
a flyer,
isn't it?
Won the 2K early in the year. It's all about the crust. Let's talk golf. The closest thing to Tiger Woods, which I doubt any of you really saw in his prime, like week to week, is Scotty Scheffler now. He's, I think, last 5 tournaments, he's won 4 of them, and he ran second in the other one, which was the one where a lot of us backed him, and he missed that putt on 18 to force a playoff. He's absolutely airborne. Along with Harry Cunningham. Full credit to Harry. Well done. He's about to make, not Scotty Scheffler money, but he's going to get a little boost. What do you think, Tom? Like, is he just in a zone, or is he better than him, or is it bits of both? He's technically very different. It doesn't seem to matter where he plays, what sort of courses he plays. He's a fair bit better than him. And when he putts okay, he kills fields.
Yeah, it's like he's putting. Well, I don't know if it's his putting has got a little bit better that's made him just win, or his irons are just landing closer, so therefore he doesn't have to putt as far away or something. But I feel like his putting was letting him down when he was closer. But yeah, he's a pleasure to watch. He's you know, when you see those things like if you backed Tiger if you backed bloody Winks at the start of all this greatness stuff. When you start backing Scotty Scheffler top fives and just keep rolling it over and see what you can get to next. But you don't want the baby to come, which might cost you.
I saw in the FedEx points.
That's true.
2023 FedEx points in front of Wyndham Clark.
Mm.
And Wyndham Clark is in second and only has 1,892 points. It's outrageous what he's having.
So the bike running last in the FedEx in the whole entire world is closer to Wyndham than Wyndham is to Scotty.
That is correct.
Really?
Yeah, he's 2,023 points ahead of Wyndham Clark in the FedEx points, and Wyndham Clark's only on 1,800.
It's like a video game. Like in our WhatsApp, we were watching him as a group kind of thing, like we do on a Monday morning, and he put that one in the water, and everyone's like, "Phew."
Yeah.
Hang on, we're a chance because a lot of us are on Cantlay. And shout out to Patrick who ran top three and got home one of the great early crow slides of all time, capped off with a multi there with Patrick running top 10.
Little 13 bucker.
He put that one in the water, reset, and it was Seb Straka who was playing with who hit like a similar shot for his third, which was Scotty's fourth. And hit it onto the green, similar spot. It stopped and it spun back like a meter. Scotty put it about a meter and a half to the right of Seb's ball, and it ripped like you were playing Tiger Woods 05. And you could hit the ball and then put the spear on it in the air.
Smash an R2.
Shout out to anyone, video gamers out there. Yeah. Right, and it just ripped. Unbelievable.
It's got to be, mental as well. Surely Rory's, so he can't be that much better than Rory, yet he kills him. He's been killing him.
Rory's irons are gone. Have you hit a winner yet in the whole time?
I haven't picked one winner, and we've had, I think, 15 shots at it. And I haven't...
What about on Saturday? Back to racing just quickly, or to racing before we get going to racing properly. We had one of the great betting sessions of all time. As someone who does it every day, I really, really enjoyed my time in our WhatsApp on Saturday. And you go, give me some tips. I want tips everywhere. And I start tipping you, and I give you one at Eagle Farm, I give you two. And then you just say this random name. And I'm thinking like Aberfeldy or something it's called.
Aldenieri.
And I'm thinking, the crust can't even read. He's mixed up 16 and 15. How am I supposed to help him? And then that horse grew wings from the back and somehow didn't win at 40s. You've had a great bet at it. None the place, which I love, by the way, Cross. I don't bet the place either, mate. Then you'll find out you bikes are in the horse.
Yeah, mate. It was just, we couldn't believe, I didn't even know, I completely forgot it was running. And then Lloydie sent the message in. And then it was its last run, or pretty much close to its last run. We got it from overseas and it'd been absolutely dud. And then it's turned it in the weds.
In the weds.
Where did you watch the race? Tropicana having breakfast with Lizard, and the place nearly.
Stop. Pause. Having breakfast with Lizard.
At 4:30,
it was race six at Eagle Farm.
We had something on in the morning training or something. Hadn't eaten since Nam. It was.
He's Nam. Best call.
And I couldn't.
So you're sitting there in a cafe roaring.
Roaring. And then I had called Paps after it. I was rattled. I was like, oh, my God. I was just nearly got... And it got done by another $40 pop. The steam from behind it. I was like, oh.
It hurts.
It was sick stuff.
What's the horse called again? Where to next, Tommy?
Just sounds like Tags at the moment. Breathe into his bloody microphone. What are you eating there?
But, maybe the Toowoomba Benchmark 58 or something.
No, we're trying to find it. He's trying to find an 1800 meter race. It's a midweeker, so should be a good chance in a midweek. It'd be probably come up short, you'd think. Well, it's got a little bit of SP bumper, but yeah, we'll go in a midweek in it. I think the following next week. I think is it Juz?
No.
Hopefully, we can draw a barrier. It's got drawn wide barriers both last few times.
Shocking last.
It's got barrier 14.
Juz has read his emails.
It's cursed. But yeah, hopefully we can get a win on the board and go forward with it, because it's been a bloody tough ownership. I know that much.
Righto, that's Aldenary, the boy's horse, who's been a frustration, but has shown a lot of potential there on Saturday. Let's get back to the golf, and we'll finish with Liv, which heads to Adelaide this week. We believe it kicks off Friday after Anzac Day. Make sure you get up, set your alarm, do the right thing, and get to a march or a service. Liv Adelaide, fast deck. I saw a video on Twitter this week, perhaps, where it looked like Royal Melbourne on steroids. The bloke rips like a 60 or a 56, flushes it, lands pin high, rolls off the front of the green.
Seen that. You'd really struggle there, I reckon.
When are we...
I will, because I put a bit of work on it. You're saying because I put a bit of work on it?
When are we playing that golf lunch thing?
Oh, Jazz, I knew I loved you. Oh, I forgot about this, and I reckon Tom didn't forget about this.
What do you mean?
You owe us, Jazz, myself, and Punts, and Prey's going to come along on video, a game of golf and lunch.
That's fine, but where are we playing and when? It's like going to be ages. It's going to have to be in the off-season.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's go as soon as the season finishes and you finish your
I'll be celebrations.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely going to be you and me versus him and Punts.
Mate, Punts wouldn't even be able to hit a ball off the bloody tee.
Don't underestimate Matty Punts, I'm telling you now. Fuck it, I'll take Matty Punts if you want. Never underestimate. Matty Punts would be the top three ranked ping pong player at the Swans if he played for him.
I'll probably watch the last day. But I'd love to be there. It'd be epic.
Well, you'll struggle to watch it because you'll actually be playing footy.
Well, I won't be watching any of them.
It would be nice if we're playing Friday night at Adelaide Oval. Stay there for the weekend.
Straight into Fisher Saturday night after the golf.
Is he playing there Saturday night, is he?
Saturday night, yep.
Jesus.
At Liv. It'll be a raucous, but it looks good. The course setup looks good. I'm looking forward to watching it. I didn't catch much of it last year, but I'm going to make sure that I tune in.
The St Kilda boys, Friday night game against Port. Adelaide Oval.
Really?
Full credit to them.
Yeah, that's a good setup.
They've done well
Ross
there.
Ross the boss. You reckon Ross Lyon, though, what would he say, boys?
Ross the boss will be getting him on the first flight out Saturday morning, no doubt about it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a setback if you play for the Saints, unfortunately. Anyway, Liv, Adelaide this weekend, Cam Smith, Leishman, Lucas Herbert, and Matty Jones for the Rippers. We're going to have our staking plan across the Crow, which is largely becoming irrelevant. I wouldn't follow it if you're playing at home, because there's going to be almost all of us basically just going for runners, golfers, that can potentially make up some ground on Harry Cunningham is put on an absolute clinic. No, not for Liv. We finish with the PGA, about a month, I reckon, maybe less. Praddy can confirm that. That'll be the final event, which will be a triple staker for our second tournament at the Early Crow Golf Club.
Is there, or boys? How far ahead is he?
I think on Errol, he's about 35 bucks.
What's Errol, second?
Yeah, second on about $5. Yep.
Liv Adelaide, John Rahm's favourite. Cam Smith, $10, second favourite. Juzzy's man, he had him in the Masters. He was off to a flyer. He was there or thereabouts until it all went to shit, Juzz, on the 15th there on day three on Saturday, moving day at the Masters, Bryson DeChambeau, $13. Will you be following your money there? Rule number four.
Absolutely done. I had him at about 30s for triple money, the time story, and that was my first. I thought, oh, it's all right. I've missed 15 in a row, but I'll get this one. I'll be home. And he's absolutely duffed them all. It was incredible stuff. I was that flat.
Patrick Reed was decent at the Masters. He's $23. Dustin and Brooks, $23 each. Notables, Mark Leishman, the local, $41.
Maronk. He handy, Maronk.
Maronky.
Bubba Watson, 101. Ian Poulter, 150-1. Filthy Phil Mickelson, $176, if you don't mind. My favourite golfer, Pat Perez, 250-1.
He's the one that wear the hair and stuff.
Yeah, he looks like a golf version of Kenny Powers. Anyway, that's Liv. We'll have it across our socials on Thursday, Anzac Day. As we said, though, be aware that a lot of us are just trying to catch Harry at this stage, and it's not probably our preferred staking, but it's just staking to try and win our tournament. Righto, NBA, the Cavs up 2-0 versus the Magic, the Knicks 2-0 versus 76ers, and the Nuggets, a controversial win to go up 2-0 against the Lakers today. Cross, thoughts on that, and where is it looking like it's going to end up in this year's playoffs?
It was very devastating stuff today, the Lakers, must say. We're rooting hard for LeBron, me and the boys, and came off, up 20 in the third. And then they just turned it on. The crowd, they had the crowd buzz. And the home court advantage is just coming out in full effect this playoffs. The Knicks also, that game was, if you watch that, Prady, did you watch a bit of that?
No, I didn't see any to
that. I saw a bit of the end.
How the Sixers fumbled that. So, I think...
They just kept giving that bloke three-point opportunities to go up.
Fiery redhead. And he was nailing them.
Mm. Did he play for the last Warriors? Year.
DiVincenzo. But I think Boston would just simply be too strong in the East, unless Giannis comes back and Dame plays the way he did in the first half the other day. Geez, that was nice. Some good shooting there. 35.
30 before the half.
But then didn't score. But then didn't score in the second half. But the game was done. Played a half. All that matters.
Yeah,
and then, so I reckon, and then whoever wins out of the Lakers and Denver will win the West. Pretty simple, I reckon.
Who's going to take it out overall?
I think Boston should be Punter's boys, my boys. They should be simply too hard to stop. I think only 60 win team in the NBA. I think, but it should be piece of piss walking out of the East, and then matching up against Denver should be the only thing.
They were a Denver, Boston, NBA Finals incoming.
Unless the Lake Show get him done, then the Lake Show go the whole way.
So the Nugs have won two at home. Now it goes back to LA.
It's a bit like tennis. Like you should just hold at home, hold on serve. Like you shouldn't be too worried if you're down 2-0. I reckon.
Hmm. They got a pretty experienced veteran who's also incredibly good. Yeah. So they might be all right.
He's enough. Just.
You love LeBron, by the sound.
The goated one. The king.
He used to eat Maccas before the games, I reckon. He used to see that.
He does what he wants.
Yeah, fair enough, you're not. All right, Boston, Denver, the big trots man into the NBA playoffs by the sound of it. Let's go Ponies. The Ramic track on Saturday. I don't know how we want to attack this, but disappointing, Tom.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Especially when you put your heart and soul into them form.
Yeah, that's actually very frustrating. One of the really frustrating things, as you'd know, Dicko, is when you do the form and you're predicting at least, probably at worst, soft, and it turns out to a cancelled meeting and a heavy 10, so... Very disappointing. And it's just weird because the week before it was a heavy eight and we had 250 mils in a day. So it was an interesting one. I think they might have stuffed up their website on the Thursday or Friday. They said they didn't have much rain, but then they actually had more than they said. And I think it was a big debacle I seen on Twitter I was reading about the website was wrong and all this shit. But, disappointing. It's very interesting to see. They just ran the group ones as well. So it's the way the industry works, isn't it? It's interesting.
It's racing.
What do you think?
You know, this sort of stuff happens. This sort of stuff happens all too often. That track's a disgrace. It had one good day, and everyone was like, all these sycophants who just like sit at the tit of racing and milk it for all it's worth to justify an income off low ability and lack of talent. Are petrified to say anything negative about the entire thing. They were up and like, they were just jumping out trees to praise that track when it raced that day when I thought it wouldn't, and I think most of us thought it wouldn't. But now it's back to what it normally is, and it's just disappointing. It's not good enough. Like, you can't have the championships, the tippy top. Imagine the AFL Grand Finals called off because too much rain. The Super Bowl's off, guys, because there's a bit of rain. It's just not acceptable. And the money needs to be put into that track for it to handle it. Flemington can handle it. Randwick needs to be able to handle it. It can't handle... That track does not handle rain on race day. For whatever reason, who cares why, fix it. Do your job. Yeah. If that's not too harsh. But it's just what I think.
That's fine.
The rain on race day, is that a big difference, Dicker, than rain in the lead up? Like, if this horse is running the track while it's raining, does it chop it up a bit more?
It seems to chop it up significantly more. If you ever walk a racetrack, I don't know if you've walked one, Tom, but there's a lot of feel on a racetrack, particularly like the main tracks where they race a lot. So it's like, you know, the boys play an SCG and it's carpet. But back in the day when they like wasn't as well looked after and wasn't as well set up and wasn't drained as well, it was a mud pit. Race tracks chop up, 500 kilo animals put their feet into it and kick up turf, and then they fill it. So if you go to the races or you're lucky, you see it on TV, you'll see blokes follow the whole course around after a race and they're filling the holes. So horses don't tread in holes when they're racing. And throughout a year, it just gets worse and worse and worse. And when it rains on a day, the damage they do to the tracks is just significant. And you understand it when it happens at Sandown or if it happened at Kembla, like these provincial sort of tracks, secondary tracks, but Randwick's got to be the tippy top in New South Wales and it's got to be better. There was a Melbourne Cup where it pissed rain and the track got upgraded through the day when it rained in the day, you know, because Flemington drains super well. When the tracks drain really well, then they have a problem with, they have to water them to keep them to that good four soft five range. And it's hard to keep them in that zone because they drain so well, but they need to do that to be able to handle these days like Randwick had. And I don't know, Tom, you've probably been betting and watching races properly for 5 years, say, in Sydney. I reckon four of the times you've watched it in the 5 years, it's very, very wet in the championships. And it's like, it's a common thing and needs to be fixed.
Yeah, it's definitely right. It's obviously a lot different to... Because we're only 90, max 90 kilo, 100 kilos. But you still see like the MCGs and things like that drain so well when it's absolutely belting down. So there's got to be a way to be able to drain it very quickly. But they've got to find a way, and they have that much money, you'd think they'd put it more into the tracks if it's getting cancelled so often.
Yeah, it was disappointing. Eyes on Ponies, another winning week. We're back. I told you we'd win. I told you. We did. Very nice start, wasn't it, at Mornington before midday too, if you don't mind. Ethan Brown, worst in midfield, almost last. Didn't matter. Circled him up the rise, pissed in. Kintyre,
you get, shout out Jamie Carr. You
What happened on Saturday, mate?
Mate, it was nice. It was nice early, and then like I don't know what happened. It was just like Aldinieri got done, and the attention span just Jesus, bro. I was actually a broken man. Like, it hurts.
What does a broken man do when it's like on a Saturday afternoon? Is it just home play a bit of Tetris?
I finished Mario Kart.
What are we doing?
And I just 4 PM. whacked the headset on and started playing some COD with Pete. I'm back in my COD. I'm like really back into it. I've got an addictive gene, like personality, and like once I get going, I'm going to really? Watch.
Anyway, until Valhalla, Thursday on the round with Kenzo. Expected to run an improved race. Dylan Gibbons rides from Barrier 1. Coffin probably leaders back. Pray to all the gods she goes on with it. And we might aim her up at some pretty nice races if she can do a job there on Thursday. Racing heats up on Saturday, Tom. Both in Queensland, but much more so in Adelaide. I don't know what Eyes on Ponies will look like. We'll have to sort of figure it out. Going to have to probably go pretty wide with our new slide. Off to an absolute belter of a start. Expect bets Thursday, Friday, Saturday and Sunday. Finishing off, it won't go to Monday morning because we're doing live this week. So Sunday afternoon, hopefully we land the last leg, which will be a golfer in live Adelaide.
All right, lads, questions. Only a few this week. This one's from Bruce. Is this year's three-year-old crop the best we've seen in a while, and can we get excited?
I would say it's not hard to be competitive with the last sort of few three-year-old years. Like Osmosis got to start at Newgate yesterday, won the Coolmore, but he won the $26 shot, as we know, because we backed him, boys.
Mm.
But, you know, he wasn't a superstar colt when he won. I don't know. I really don't. But that's exciting. That's what's good about racing. You know, we thought, didn't we, Tom, like 2 months ago, it was Storm Boy. Now it's wide open. It will be a genuinely exciting spring for three-year-olds this year because you won't know much and you get opportunities to have a good bet if you really like Sankoff, its trials, and you've seen enough juice in its two-year-old year, but you wouldn't be in its first three-year-old campaign, but you wouldn't be against a horse you hadn't seen race yet because the bar hasn't been set super high. So I think both the two-year-olds and the three-year-olds are really wide open this year in racing, and it's quite exciting.
Yeah. There's probably one to keep an eye on and come through the two-year-old crop is Get a Fix, Gelded. Be looking for a really good prep. That's the one that I sort of took note of in the two-year-old crop, so just keep an eye on that, I reckon. One for the Black Bookers.
Love that. That's a good segue into Isaac's question. Horses to follow out of the autumn going forward into the spring. Yeah,
Aldinieri had a good start last start. As mentioned earlier in the show, it should be running maybe first Tuesday of November, I think. So,
yeah. Love that.
That Viestina.
Mm.
The horse that started $1.70 behind Pride of Jenny wasn't suited. If that thing races on, it'll be very, very hard to beat in a Cox Plate.
Burkle of Fire. Big win in the Sydney Cup. Three wide. If it comes on again, the Melbourne, if it really comes on in the next campaign, Melbourne Cup would be on its mind.
Short term, there's a horse called Just Folk that's going to, I think it might be the Hawkesbury Cup. And I managed to talk to a mate who had him on Get a Fix, and I got Nash.
Really?
Nash to get on and go to Hawkesbury. So just keep an eye out. Pray for rain.
Love that. Love hearing that. The Sanctus of this Saturday, boys. Which one of Mars should be favourite? Estriella, $2.80, or I Am Me, $5.50?
Well, I think Estriella, $2.80. The bookies know.
I have no further comment. I would agree with that.
Yeah, after Australia's run last start, it'd be hard to go past it, wouldn't it? depends where it all.
I always say this.
Are the barriers out there? Yeah. Barrier 11 yeah. for
Tommy.
Australia.
God, he's, look at him go, Pratio. Look at him go.
What?
Can I only imagine how a horse must feel. It's so people. Important. Those races in Adelaide, barriers and maps key.
Yeah.
The best horse doesn't win, the right horse will win that race.
Well, I mean,
and the big
too.
Races over there. Good gate speed. Who rides it? Jay Carr?
Bishin.
Oh, he knows how to ping him, doesn't he?
Did Bishin last
he was on Estrella
as well? So he's
might,
chosen IMV.
It might have no weight.
Ah, yep.
Our man Mark Zara is on Estrella.
Oh, that might be just King Kong shit, so off you get, son.
Love that. And then last one for the night, before Dicko wraps the show, Tyson's asked, how do you think Into You will go in the Australasian Oaks this Saturday? He thought it was flying at track work.
Flying at track work.
Well, we weren't there for that.
Yeah, weren't there for that. But on the track, $2.50 in a midweek benchmark 70. Come second there by a blip. I'd probably have to improve a bit, I think, to get the job done. I reckon it's probably around stab in the dark, $20 chance. Let's see what opens.
Again, not much more to add. They're lower races than you think. You know, the name and the prestige attached to them doesn't translate to the benchmark required to win these sort of races. But it has a ways to go, but it certainly you wouldn't want to put a line. You wouldn't want to say it can't do it. Bit of scope. Juzzy, that's a racing term. Bit of upside. Hope. Scope equals hope. And that horse has got a little bit. Christ, that's been another episode of The Early Crow. Thank you so much for joining us. It's been an absolute pleasure to have you, and it's been a better experience to get to know you and watch you have a really good year so far for the Swans. I hope it continues, man, and I hope that the body holds up. And I hope that you find yourself in a position where you're floating inside 50 and you just decide to pin the ears back and just put one
so
straight
through. You got anything for me when I knock one over or what?
Let us think on that, but all we'll right. come up with something. I don't want to get you in trouble, though. I've already got Tom almost last year.
On the run, not set short.
You prefer it on the run, don't you?
Bit more give about it.
Good luck, boys, in Melbourne on Sunday up against Sam Mitchell and the Hawks. We'll have betting advice and content all across our socials from Thursday onwards. Make sure you like and subscribe and get around it. Have a phenomenal
week.
Thanks,
Joe.
Get to a dawn service, do the right thing.
Thanks, Michael.
Bye for now.